Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. We are Leslie and Tessie, your co-hosts. We started this podcast because we knew there was a group of women who wanted a community like this that hears from women who maybe you don't know about yet, but you need to know about them. They're the silent movers and shakers that are changing the world within their little realms, and we want them to change your world too and inspire you to engage your mama bear to live a life like theirs of love and compassion.
We love this podcast, and we hope that you do too. One way that you can show your love and support is by shopping on Amazon for Mama Bear Dares. So what you need to do is just follow the link that we'll provide in the show notes. It's also on our website. And if you're checking out anything at Amazon, if you're making any purchases, please do so through our site. It won't cost you anything, but it'll kick back some spare change for the Mama Bear Dares podcast.
Absolutely. This podcast episode is also sponsored by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audible.com/mamabeardares.
So, Tessie, I love this episode. You handled this one in Michigan while I was freezing my tail off at a baseball game in Iowa, and I listened to the conversation and absolutely loved what came out of it. I'm so excited, actually, that we're talking about fashion today on the Mama Bear Dares podcast, but what I really love is that we're talking about fashion with an epidemiologist. I mean, this just is so delightfully random and so completely perfect.
So Yasi is an epidemiologist. She's also the blogger behind the very popular Hello Gorgeous blog. I mean, the numbers for her blog are crazy. It also is an income generator for her. She mentions that on the podcast as well. So she's doing pretty well for herself on this blog.
Yeah, and it sounds really, really great. I mean, if you hop on her blog, you will probably lose at least an hour, but it'll be time well spent.
Yes.
I know, I was looking at her blog, Hello Gorgeous, and it was inspiring. Her style is so cute, it's so creative, it's so accessible, and it's just a lot of fun. I love that she had done this blog as sort of a project that really did become a vehicle for her to impact a lot of people and make some money on the side. So check out Hello Gorgeous. Of course, you'll learn more about it in the podcast. But part of your conversation that you had, you talked about personal style and how just like everything else in life, we really hit style at different times and in different seasons. So sometimes in life, you really can devote a lot of time and thought and energy and money toward fashion. And other times, you just can't. You just don't have the energy. You don't have the time. You don't have the resources. And so it becomes less of a priority. I've always liked fashion. I've always, you know, enjoyed clothing. But it's not something that's super high on my list of priorities, although it is something that I enjoy. I do have to tell you, just to allude to some of the conversation that you and Yasi have later on, I did just start changing out of my pajamas before taking the kids to school. The flow of my day has definitely changed since all the kids are in school. So now I typically get dressed before the drop-off and go on with my day. Before, like it or not, I was totally doing that in my pajamas. Is that like a fashion no?
It is. Especially if you want to be Blythe Danner. You know, one of the reasons, well, the main reason I wanted to interview Yasi when it pertains to style is because fashion actually is really intriguing to me as well. But I knew that she believes in it on a deeper level. I mean, her blog is called Hello Gorgeous, and she's talking to you, and she's talking to me. She's not saying Hello Gorgeous about herself. You know, the message she sends with her blog and her Instagram, her social media profile for Hello Gorgeous, is so uplifting to other women, which I think is what makes it so popular. She's funny, she's relatable, you know, but she also sees that style is way more than skin deep. So even though you're rocking your PJs, because I know you, if someone were to walk up, you would greet them with a smile, you would greet them with great energy. And so there is a decent chance they would not notice you were in pajamas, because Yassi is so good at understanding that people see past the actual clothing, but it really is about just finding a style that you can feel confident in. It's about finding a pair of pants or a shirt that makes you feel like the beautiful person that you are. And that's why, you know, I hope our mama bears hear that from her, because she's really, really good at accessing that in the people around her.
I think our mama bears will get that from Yassi. Mm-hmm. I love just the way she approaches style, the way she approaches life, and the way that she challenges and the way that she inspires people to, even in their most kind of casual moments, still care enough about themselves to put a little time into themselves and into their wardrobe. This is sort of an act of love, I think, mm-hmm. that she's offering to inspire individuals to love themselves. It's interesting for moms, I think, too, or a lot of us who kind of work from home or work in a really casual environment. There's not a big distinction, for instance, in my day, if I'm writing from the co-working space or the coffee shop and then carting my kids around somewhere. So I sometimes have trouble because I want to be comfortable, mm-hmm. but I also want to look cute, mm-hmm. but ultimately I want to be comfortable, I think. I mean, I am wearing fashion glasses today. Like, I listened to Yassi and then I was like, I kind of feel funky. I kind of feel a little like sassy today. So I'm going to wear my fashion glasses. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly something to what she talks about of just your mood, your style reflecting your mood. Mm-hmm. Also, Yassi has agreed to share her talent by giving away a free consultation. So this is going to be really cool. Yeah. So stick around to the end and you'll hear more details about how you could benefit from Yassi's awesome style sense.
It's going to be so fun. So make sure that's towards the end of the podcast. Stick around until the end. But what do you think, Leslie? Should we hear what Yassi has to say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Mama Bears. Today, I am talking to Yassi back, and I'm actually missing Leslie. She is not able to make it to this recording, so I'm going to try really, really hard to kind of channel her energy and see how this goes, but Yassi is a woman of many talents. She's an epidemiologist by trade. Yes, I did have to ask her what that is or how I would explain it. She's the one that works on disease outbreaks and analyzes health patterns and data for, in this case, the county of Kalamazoo, Michigan. She also runs a successful style blog and Snapchats pictures of her delicious meals and adorable pets. So without further ado, Yassi, welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so many may know you from your online moniker, Hello Gorgeous, or like me, they will immediately recognize you from Pinterest. Your bedroom full-length mirror is all over that, which I love. So tell us, were you always into fashion?
This may be surprising, but I really wasn't always into fashion. I think I was always interested in style, and I'm artistic, kind of in various things. So I always liked fashion, but I wasn't very fashionable growing up. Some of that had to do with the fact that fashion can be expensive, and being into clothes and style can be expensive. And so I didn't exactly have that luxury growing up, but I was also kind of a tomboy. So fashion wasn't the first thing on my list, but yeah, so it's kind of yes and no, I was and I wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you were always interested, but not necessarily invested
exactly.
In fashion. Okay. And speaking of growing up, we were just talking before this, actually, that you moved to the United States in 93-ish.
Mm-hmm.
How did, like, when you moved here, or at least when you got old enough to, like, recognize, how were the fashions different here mm-hmm. than where you were from?
So I'm Iranian, and the fashion here, I would say, and again, you have to understand that my understanding of Iranian fashion is very different because I came here as a child.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't really think much about fashion there, but I think sort of the difference is we have a lot of options here. I mean, we have a lot of cheap fashion mm-hmm. that's really disposable,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, really, I don't recall shopping a lot there because, again, I was a child and I don't remember, you know, how much things cost and
right.
what I bought because a lot of my clothes were bought for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think here we have a lot of options
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the price range is different. And I think in Iran, just overall, clothes are really expensive. And I mean, that's
really
because a lot of it is imported.
Oh,
and so,
okay.
yeah. And so clothes are expensive. And so I think that here we just have, a wider variety of, you know, price points and options that we, can choose from.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things I admire about your style is that it's so you. Like, how important do you think it is for people to embrace their own style rather than copy someone else's?
Obviously, I mean, I think you know this, but I'm going to say it's really important for people to embrace their own style. I mean, your style, it's who you are, right? It's a reflection of the person that you are. You kind of dress to show the world, you know, how you feel inside. How you feel that day. So I think it's really important to embrace who you are and not copy, you know, what's in or what other people are wearing.
Mm-hmm.
But I will preface that kind of with saying that I think finding your own personal style, I know that one of the ways that I found my own personal style was copying other people and
mm-hmm.
seeing really what worked. And okay, so I see so-and-so wearing this thing, I'm going to wear it and see how I feel in it, or like, will it look good on me? So I don't think copying is necessarily a bad thing, because I think
yeah.
that finding your own personal style, you really find it by trial and error, because no one all of a sudden wakes up and says, this is my style, you
right.
know? You kind of figure out what's not your style,
mm-hmm.
and then figure out what is your style, and what really kind of pulls on your heartstrings and says, you know, hey world, this is me.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to embrace your style and not copy people when you find out, you know, what your style actually is. But I think it's actually okay to kind of experiment and see what works for you.
Yeah, so. That's so good. Any advice for mamas who are in that stage of life where it's just like, you don't necessarily need to dress up to go to work, but probably you should also not wear your pajamas?
I think my advice would be to, and And this is so funny because one of my favorite shows is What Not to Wear. I know it's not on anymore. And one of the things that they say is, you know, you can still be stylish and comfortable at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really key is you can have really low-key style and still be stylish. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think you need to look like you're trying really hard to, like, look put together.
Yeah.
So I think wearing, like, jeans that fit instead of, like, leggings that I'm wearing right now with dog hair all over them. You know, I think that's good. Like you're doing pretty good right yeah. there. And I think really what it comes down to, and, I mean, this goes along with embracing your style, is I think what's really important is embracing your style with where you are now. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily where you want to be 5 months down the road, where you want to be a year from now, especially for women who, you know, are trying to change their bodies. I think it's embracing your style with what your body looks like now. And I think that's really, really important because accepting that your body is whole and it's okay mm-hmm. the way it is really what you want to get to. And I think the only way to do that is to just try. Every day, just try to dress to what your body is now, and regardless of how you feel, push through. Mm-hmm. And embrace, you know, your style and say, okay, well, I might really want to wear skinny jeans, but maybe that's not really what I feel comfortable in.
Right.
So maybe you shouldn't wear skinny jeans. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you feel better in a different type of pant, then wear that type of pant because you're embracing the style for your body and mm-hmm. what makes you feel the best, not necessarily what's in or what you want to look good on your body.
Oh, yeah.
So I think really embracing what makes you feel best the way you are now, I mm-hmm. think that's really important. And again, you know, colorful scarves and accessories and all those sorts of things yeah. really help too.
Yeah.
To kind of jazz up your style. But for, I think, people who are busy and they're running two things, I think practical clothes, but clothes that are nice and, you know, maybe don't have as much dog hair on them are good.
I do have to tell you, listeners, she's talking like she's like some sort of slob with dog hair, but she's also rocking this amazing sweatshirt that says Nerdy by Nature, which if you've been a longtime listener, you know that that's basically Leslie and my personal philosophies. So I really appreciate that.
That's amazing. I was wearing this yesterday too, just so you know.
So if any of you saw Yassi yesterday, it's fine. In the same shirt. That's totally my style. One of the things for me that bothers me a little bit about the industry as a whole is just like what's in style now. And it doesn't bother me. I love seeing that too. I'm really interested. I'm the same way. I love What Not to Wear. I love all of that. But Zach can attest to the fact that like I have loved puffy vests since Michael J. Fox wore them on Back to the Future. And I have not let that style go because I love what I look like in a puffy vest. And it's circled back. So, you know, maybe sometimes you have to tuck it in the closet for a few years as yeah. the style lapses and only bring it out in Halloween when you're going to be, you know,
Michael J. Fox.
But then it'll come back and you can bring it back out, right? But what I noticed when you were saying was like, oh, my style really has not changed a ton in the years since I kind of developed my personality, since I really kind of delved into who I was authentically. But it maybe has small variations, you know, like maybe I try a skinny jean instead of like the boot cut now yeah. or whatever. And so I like the idea of just like accepting where you're at now and embracing it. And then, you know, seeing where it takes you in 5 months, maybe in 5 months, you're going to love a new variable on that same
yeah,
style.
Yeah, absolutely.
So from following you for as long as I have, one of the things I admire about your style is that it's accessible. So some style bloggers, I admit that they're my like guilty pleasure. I totally yeah. love them, are wearing items totally out of the budget for most Americans. Mm-hmm. But you show how one sweater can work multiple ways so that it feels like it's multiple outfits. Or you often get your pieces from places that are affordable like H&M or Forever 21.
How important is it to you to speak to the average woman?
Well, I think it's really important. First of all, I am the average woman, so I feel like I'm speaking from my experience. I mean, the bloggers who are not accessible, maybe that's their world, and maybe that's really how they dress, but for me, I don't dress that way, and so I think it would be really difficult for me to dress that way, even if I tried, because I don't have the means, nor do I want to, you know? So I think it's really important to me to speak to the average woman because I am the average woman.
Yeah, absolutely. You could say, oh, my average reader is this person. Who is that person?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely a pattern that I noticed very early on in that a lot of my readers are working women mm-hmm. who need styles that are work styles that are accessible. And I think that with a lot of bloggers who are very, you know, they wear very expensive styles and they just have a different, they're approaching their blog in a different way, mm-hmm. which is totally fine. It's just, I work full time, and so my blog ended up being mostly about my work outfit. So I think that's really the audience that I reach are women who are looking for style inspiration for work. Yeah. How to look, you know, interesting and put together for work.
So how did you, or why did you, get started blogging?
That's an interesting question. I can answer it in a few different ways. One is that, so before Hello Gorgeous, I actually had another blog that was a very personal blog, and it was a blog that focused on disordered eating, mm-hmm. and it kind of helped me along with my own journey with disordered eating. And so Hello Gorgeous was kind of like the next step in that. When I felt like my old blog was no longer relevant because I had healed enough to the point where even writing on it was not fruitful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Hello Gorgeous was kind of an extension of that, in that at that point in my life, I'd started getting a lot more into fashion and style, and I'd started following a lot of personal style bloggers, and I thought that it was really interesting. And at the time, I'd just gotten married. I didn't have a job. I'd just moved to a new city. I didn't know anyone. And so following these style blogs and having lots of time in my hands beside applying for jobs, I thought, hey, you know, I see these style bloggers. I think I can do that. You know, I love playing dress up and putting outfits together. I'd like to post it out there and see, you know, what kind of response I get. And so that's kind of how it started. It was kind of like, almost like a project. Like I had time on my hands. I thought, why not? Mm-hmm. It was fun. And so that's really where it started. It's kind of two-pronged.
Okay. I know you and I have talked about eating disorders before. We're recording this on a Wednesday, and on Monday we posted Sarah Wenger's episode, and she is a model. And we didn't even get into it then, but the industry is well known for, or at least, I don't know if it's well known, but it's common knowledge that there are kind of rampant eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to me that actually, like, fashion helped not pull you out, but helped you heal from an eating disorder, in that you turned it into another space, another blog that could help you kind of communicate. You could find a community, you know, over this one subject that is often leading people down the road you had just come from. So, like, talk about that a little bit.
It's funny that you say it's interesting, because to this day, I still think it's interesting too, because it sounds kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But honestly, so I think really what it was for a long time, obviously people with body image issues or eating disorders, for me, I was always wanting to look a certain way. So I would restrict my eating and, you know, because I wanted to fit into a pair of jeans that maybe like a month ago I felt really good in on, you know, some day. And I was always searching for that. I wanted to fit into the clothes. And so I didn't really know a lot about style. I didn't really know how to dress for my body. I knew what clothes I liked, and I wanted to fit into those things because those were the, like, the cool clothes or, like, the things that, you know, I wanted to wear. And I think with my style blog, what really happened was I started really thinking about what I liked, and I started experimenting with different things and, you know, putting different outfits together. And I think it gave me some sort of a, like, a strange confidence in that I was really okay with messing up. I said, you know, it's just clothes. And I think playing around with clothes, I mean, really, in the beginning, it really was playing dress up.
Yeah.
I think it really made me feel that you can't really mess up. I mean, if you wear something that you don't feel good in today, you can always wear something different tomorrow. And I think just kind of by trial and error, it showed me what my personal style was, what I liked. And I think in the end, what that ended up teaching me was that I didn't have to dress to clothes, to like the certain clothes that I wanted to wear. What I really wanted to do was dress to my body and dress to what made me feel good. And I think that was a lesson that I'd been waiting a long time to learn. And for some reason, this blog and playing dress up in this way and learning how, I was really learning how to dress myself and how to dress my body. And I mean, it really gave me a confidence that I never had because I never really knew. I'd never played around with clothes so much where I thought, you know, what do I really like? What really complements my body? I always thought I like those pants and that shirt, and I have to be thin enough or look a certain way to fit in those things. You know? So it kind of like turned it on its head, but it was very organic and really fun.
I feel like that's what one of the things that I constantly fall in love with life all over again is because you never know where the message or the lesson is going to come from. And when it comes in an unexpected place, like your situation, I just think, God, life is so cool. I mean, that's crazy that that is what, you know, how it got to you, how it really hit you and kind of drove home the message that like, oh, nothing's wrong with me. It's that, you know, like maybe I've got this all wrong in my head. Maybe I don't need to fit the clothes, but the clothes need to fit me. And it got me thinking too, because actually you and I met at the gym that I work at and you go to, and often personal training clients or people who come to classes will be like, how do I get rid of this? And they'll grab, you know, their belly or their tricep or something like that. And sometimes, or they'll say like my muffin top, which is probably my least favorite expression in the history of the English language. But so often I'll look at them and I'll say, buy different pants, and then it's gone. Sometimes it's exactly what you're saying. I see women who are wearing these pants that fit them 3 years ago and no longer fit them because guess what? Even if you've not had babies, even if not, your body changes as you age. So dressing to how you are now, I feel like, I mean, we've all had those pants, right, that are too tight. And the way that the message that it sends to your brain is impossible to escape. But then you can put on your pair that's like your normal pair of pants and it fits you well. And you're like, oh, never mind. Everything's fine. Nothing's wrong here. And so I love the idea that like the only manipulation that should be happening with your closet is that you're buying clothes that make you feel like a badass. You know, you don't buy clothes that make you feel bad about yourself.
Right.
Like that's the manipulation, is you manipulating the clothes and not the clothes manipulating you. What do you love about the fashion industry or the style industry as a whole?
Again, I feel like this is coming from like a very average woman's perspective. So, I mean, I don't really know much about, like, the fashion industry. Yeah. I'm really not that cool yeah. at all.
Yes, you are.
But, I mean, I think the thing that I love about it is that, I mean, let's be honest, clothes are fun. Mm-hmm. So is accessorizing. Like, the fact that we're not walking around naked all day and, like, we actually, like, get dressed and wear different things for our mood. I mean, maybe some people don't like that. Maybe some people like being naked. But, I mean, I personally like dressing to how I feel that day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the fashion industry provides us with that and mm-hmm. gives us... And, I mean, I think especially now, we have so many options, mm-hmm. you know? So I think it really gives you access into becoming a different person mm-hmm. at any day that you feel like. And, I mean, unlike Tessie, who's, like, super badass and has all these tattoos, like, I'm very much not as badass, so I don't have any tattoos. So for me, like, being able to change the way I look and the way I come off with what I'm wearing, I think that's, like, it's kind of like a temporary yeah. tattoo, you know? Like,
you're so right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's really what I like is it's like you're being artistic with mm-hmm. the way that you look. And I mm-hmm. think that obviously without the fashion industry, we couldn't have that.
Right.
So, I mean, really, I think that's where it's at for me.
I love that. And we're sitting in your house actually, and your whole house, I mean, the style of your house is just equally beautiful. And it sends the same message that your clothes send, which I love that there's just kind of, obviously you dress and you decorate totally true to who you are because it's the same. Like I see the same kind of themes. What I love about seeing your style run through your clothes and through your home and through all of that, and then being able to say, but sometimes you can mix it up because some days we feel like Beyonce.
Oh yeah.
Which just so you know, I actually listen to Beyonce before I record any podcast. That's the truth. Oh, well lately, I mean any Beyonce, it doesn't yeah. even matter. It
of course.
It doesn't matter, you guys.
Slay.
That's all I tell myself when I get up to that mic. Slay, Tessie. So sometimes you can be Beyonce. Other times, I don't know. You want to be pink? You can be pink.
Yeah.
You know, like, I agree that I love that about style. And that you can have the same base because you're always who you are.
Yeah.
But then add a funky scarf or add clunky jewelry or whatever.
Yeah. And or then if you totally want to look like crap all, like, one day... 2 days, 3 days, yeah. whatever. Like, that's cool, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's how you're feeling that day. But I think style really gives us the, you know, the avenue to be able to do that.
I haven't even mentioned that your blog is hellogorgeous.blogspot.com. It's a successful blog. And you recently decided to stop blogging. So can you talk about what led you to that decision?
If you follow my blog, surprise! I have not announced this on my blog yet, but it's kind of been in the works for quite a while. Tessie, probably one of the first few times we hung out, mm-hmm. We had some wine. And
yes.
And I'm a pretty... emotional person, and I kind of went into this whole thing about, you know, how I was torn up about
yeah.
should I keep on blogging or not. So it's kind of been in the works for quite a while, but really the short answer is that I have had my blog for 4.5 years, and after doing a lot of inner work and contemplation, because it is a really difficult decision, I think simply I just outgrew my blog, mm-hmm. honestly. I think that's what happened. And it's interesting because it brings me back to a conversation that we had about a year ago, that first time that we hung out at your mm-hmm. house. And I remember you and our friend Liz said to me, I think you were talking actually about how it's okay to outgrow things. Mm-hmm. And if something's not serving you anymore, mm-hmm. It's okay to let go. And it's the healthy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about my blog was I started it before I found a job in my field. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of time when I started my blog, which was fantastic. And I still put a lot of time toward my blog for a long time while I was working full time in the beginning. Again, because I had the excitement and I had the drive and I loved doing it. And I think just throughout time, and I think honestly the turning point was when we got our puppy, who's actually under my legs right now eating some peanut butter. She's a happy camper right now. But I think it really kind of turned for me when we got our puppy. We got her when she was 10 weeks old, and she was a rescue. We had to completely train her like a little tiny puppy, and I'd never had a puppy before, and it took a lot of my time. And so instead of going to work, coming home, immediately getting on my computer, I had to tend to this puppy dog and train it and teach it. And honestly, I wanted to spend time with the dog. I didn't want to come home and immediately pop open my computer and start blogging because, again, it takes time. During the entire time that I've been blogging, I've had a full-time job as an epidemiologist. So to have that switch over from, you know, science and public health to blogging, I just really had to, I think, over time figure out what my priorities were. So
I remember that conversation about a year ago or so that you were saying sometimes it feels so disingenuous as well, because as you get older, you just realize all of the issues in the world. Obviously, you are serving a purpose, and you are, we've talked before, like you receive emails like, oh my gosh, you've changed how I look at fashion. I feel so confident in my body. Like you've received, you are making a difference. But when you say, when you said, I feel like I've outgrown it to some extent, what I hear you saying is just that, because time is our most valuable resource and people often forget that. And so what I hear you saying is just like, I want to pour my time into things that feel like who I am now. Just like you said, my style needs to be who I am right now. Your life should mirror that as well. And so what I heard you saying a year ago and now is really just that this is no longer a reflection of my life where I'm at right now.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And honestly, for me, it was quite a journey. I think one was because to me, when my fashion blog got popular, it really surprised me because I wasn't expecting it to, you know, have a large viewership. And I think that I kind of hit a nerve. And I kind of filled in a spot that people were looking for, that women were looking for, women who were working. And I think that's really who my largest audience is, as I said before. And so I think that my biggest problem was I'd worked so hard to get it to that place. And I did spend a lot of time, you know, getting it to this place. And I think one of the biggest issues for me was saying, okay, I've built this blog to where it is now. How can I let it go? How can I let it go when it's still successful? How can I let it go when it's making a profit? Because I was, I mean, I was making a, like a side income from my blog. And so I think it's really, it was really difficult for me to justify letting something go where it was still profitable and I could do it and I was good at it and I had an audience. So I think it was really figuring out where your values lie and what's more important to you.
I remember you saying the Yassi I sometimes portray on my social media doesn't really fit the Yassi that's like walking in the door excited to see my dogs and kiss my husband, right? That like sometimes you felt like two totally different people and that's what felt weird or off to you. One of the hardest things, especially in America, because our culture very much tells you like if you're making money, then that's what you do. Then they, there you stay. But, you know, on Mama Bear Dares, we just encourage women and men to do what actually feels right for them. There is, of course, some privilege in being able to stop something that's lucrative, right? We can recognize there's privilege in that. But if you do have the opportunity and you are in a position where you don't need to do it, then don't do it.
Well, and I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head in that I think one of the things that I struggled with the most was that I realized how privileged I was. And every time I talked about this, you know, problem or I didn't know what to do with this anymore, I felt stupid. And I felt like when I was talking about it, I sounded like I wasn't grateful. Mm. And I feel like one of the things that's really important to me is to be a grateful person. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I couldn't really wrap my head around, because every time I said, I'm not sure if this is me anymore, I'm not sure if this is what I want to do, I didn't want to make it sound like I was ungrateful for the opportunities that had been given to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I really had to become okay with, and saying, okay, I recognize that I am privileged enough to say that I don't want to do this anymore because of X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think really accepting that and making peace with that was the biggest hurdle for me.
Yeah. We mentioned that you've been thinking about this for over a year now. So how did you feel when you finally made the decision? What did that feel like? What did that moment feel like when you knew that it was done and obviously you said you haven't announced it to your blog, but for you personally, you knew it was over.
Honestly, it kind of felt like, and this happened probably a month ago, so I've kind of been thinking about this for a while, but the real decision happened about a month ago, and it was over like a couple of days period, and I just had a moment of clarity. I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like it dawned on me that if something wasn't exactly how I wanted to be spending my time, which, like you said, is the most valuable thing mm-hmm. that we have, why was I still doing it? Mm-hmm. Just because something was successful didn't mean that I had to keep on doing it if it wasn't, you know, who I was anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think realizing that that was okay was the biggest thing for me, that it's okay if it's not who I am anymore. And so I think really when I made the decision, it was freeing mm-hmm. and exciting at the same time, because when you let go of one thing, it opens up, you know, all this space and all this energy for you to think about, oh, wow, if I'm not spending time blogging, what can I be doing? And I think there's, you know, a lot of potential in that. And it really is exciting, because you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? There's so much possibility. Yeah. You know, there's a whole world out there. Yeah.
I sometimes like to break out into random Disney songs. So it's a whole new world.
That's where we'll be.
There it is. Feels good. Feels good. One of the biggest lies we're told is that you can't be two things at once. So when you were saying, how was I supposed to be grateful and also be okay with letting it go? How was I supposed to, you know, just be so thankful that this opportunity came into my life and yet want it to go away? That's like one of the biggest lies that we're told, right? For a friend that no longer is as close as we once were, or for, you know, any relationship too, we can be so grateful for the moments that we had and the time we shared and have zero ill will towards them, but still let it go. And so I just want to honor and be really proud of you for doing that. Cause that's a really hard step to be able to say, like, I'm doing it, I'm thankful for it, and here we go.
Thank you for saying that. And I mean, I think it's okay to be proud of ourselves too. And honestly, I am proud of myself. I think you're right. And I think that's something a lot of us struggle with, is accepting that something was great once and was, you know, great for where we were in our lives at one point, and it's not anymore. But that doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take away from how great it was when it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've grown. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I feel like I've outgrown my blog, but I think I've grown personally. And being able to accept that and being okay with the fact that, you know, maybe something's just not who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that this is maybe one of the first experiences that I've had in my life where it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And it's spelled out so obviously for mm-hmm. me. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been interesting.
That's so great. Have so many things demanding your time, like we said. What do you do that is just for Yasi? We always say there's the mother self and the other self, so we are asking specifically, like, what do you do for your other self?
If you would have asked me like a month or two ago, I totally would have said I blog. Mm-hmm. You know, but actually thinking about this, what I've been doing the past month that I haven't blogged, I've been reading a ton.
Awesome.
And I love it. I mean, it's fantastic. And I have always liked reading, but really when we're talking about time, I haven't had the time to read. And I mean, I can't tell you the last time I cracked open a book unless I was on vacation. And I've actually been reading for leisure. I mean, like when I come home from work. And that's amazing.
That is
amazing. And it's really nice. And, you know, I'm not reading like Shakespeare or anything. Like,
who is?
What I'm reading is like, you know, it's actually not that great, but I mean, it's really fun.
Yeah.
And I'm reading a trilogy about girls who go on a summer vacation right now. I'm not going to say it because I just said it's not that great. It's pretty good, you know.
But well, it's a trilogy, so you're committed.
But now I'm committed. I'm on the third book, you know. So I'm so far in. I started this in the Dominican Republic,
oh, yeah.
Not realizing that the book was a trilogy. And then it was a cliffhanger. You know, I'm sitting on the toilet. Like, I'm on the, you know, I have 5 pages left. And all of a sudden, I'm like, there's no way they can end this in 5 pages. Look on the cover, realize it's a trilogy. Well, this is about a month and a half ago. So right now, I can proudly attest and let you know that I am on book 3, halfway through. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I've been doing a lot of reading, and that's kind of that's kind of been my thing, and doing a lot of just, this is going to sound so cheesy, but I've been doing like a lot of like inner work and mm-hmm. just kind of figuring out where I am in life and kind of what I want to be doing and what I like. And I mean, there's no pressure, and that's kind of really nice.
Yeah. Talk a lot about seasons on the Mama Bear Dares podcast as well. We should always shape a season around that internal work, especially if we're starting to feel like we're just not settled. And you could be settled in terms of like, this is where I'm living for the rest of my life, and these are my family, and these are my friends. Like, that's, it's okay to be settled like that. But in terms of there's just a restlessness within your soul, I think that that is just the world telling you that you need to carve out some time to get cheesy and do the hard inner work, you know? And often I find what's funny about us laughing about the trilogy is when I'm doing hard inner work, I don't want to then read heavy books. Like that's a time for 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh yeah. No, totally.
You know, that is when I'm doing really deep stuff. If I then read deep stuff, it's just too much. It's too much. So I often will do things like that, kind of go out of my way to choose books, like ask my friends specifically. I don't want to think, I just want a really good, lighthearted book. So seriously, tell us, what's the trilogy?
I think it's like called The Summer Girls or something. It's about three sisters who all have the same father, but different mothers.
Oh.
They visit their grandmother. Their grandmother invites them to North Carolina to like visit for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And they're all at different points in their lives.
Okay.
I really should I'm tell invested. You what this is.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, it's, you know, it's a book. It's not, I, it's a good book. I mean, it's fun. It's a fun read. I have some feminist issues with some of the stuff that goes on. But again, this is telling you, like, I need some fluffy reading
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly.
Because I will look deep into it regardless. But no, it's been really fun to just kind of read. Before that, I read, like, The Perfume Collector or something.
Oh, okay.
Which, that was okay, too. I think I need to, like, step up my book game, and I need to, like, actually ask some avid readers what kind of books they like.
I'll give
because
you
the
some
ones that I choose, like, I read them, and then I'm like, okay, that was good. I think I can do better. So yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Mama Bears, we will link to the show notes once we get the titles to the books. We will put them in the show notes if you're curious as I am. We've now gotten to the time when we do a little thing that we like to call the obsess sesh. So give me three things that you're currently obsessed over.
So the first one clearly is terrible books, as we discussed. Also, I'm obsessed with finding better books. So that was one. The second, we joked about this earlier, but sparkling water. So my brother actually got me a Soda Stream a few months ago, and it's like the best thing that has ever happened to
me. Except for you've not made soda.
Except I've never made soda. I just make sparkling water. And what I like to do is when people come over, I ask them if they'd like some water. And then when they say yes, I say, sparkling or still. And it makes me feel really fancy. And then number three, I'm obsessed with glassware. Like, I'm nuts, right? No, but I'm trying to, obviously, I like to live a healthy lifestyle, and I'm always looking into, you know, how can I cut things that are bad for me out or, like, improve my lifestyle. So very recently I switched over we have one of those Brita, you know, where it filters the water, and it was this gunky, you know, plastic one.
Uh-huh.
I found a glass one, actually one of the only glass filters that I could find anywhere. It's called the Soma filter, S-O-M-A.
Uh-huh.
It's like $40. I bought mine on Amazon, but I think you can just buy it on Soma's website.
Okay.
And so it's a filter. It does the same exact thing as a Brita. It looks really cool. It kind of looks like a science beaker.
Nice.
And because I'm super
wait,
geeky,
I saw that.
Yeah. It's in my fridge right now. I'll show it to you. But it looks really neat. It looks like a beaker, and it's glass, so there are, you know, no contaminants in it that would be in plastic. And a while ago, I actually switched all of our Tupperware over, you know, this, over to, like, glass and Pyrex
Testify.
And all of that.
Testify. You're the one that got me on the glass,
nice.
And I'm obsessed.
I know. It's the best, right? You can't go back.
No.
And so on top of that, like, I used to have a lot of water bottles, like, you know, the ones that you take to the gym or take it with you. And I found some on Amazon that are also glass, but they have a silicone, like, thing around it so that, you know, it doesn't break if it falls or anything. So I guess my third obsession would be glassware.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Mama Bear Dares podcast. So Mama Bears, Yasi has generously donated one 30-minute Skype session style consultation. And I think maybe I should come over too. We'll have a couple glasses of wine. You will get to show Yasi your closet. She will hear about your life and help you choose clothes that will work with your lifestyle. Because I know her, she will probably also give you a little boost of confidence you've been needing that will go perfectly with anything you throw on. So all you have to do to enter this giveaway is write a review on iTunes. We will link directions on how to do that because some of you have said that it was kind of tricky. So we'll link how to do that in the show notes. Check those out. If you've already reviewed us on iTunes, you're automatically entered. Mama Bears, you deserve this giveaway. Leave a review. Good luck. And today, of course, we have our Mama Bear Dares. We are daring you to embrace your own style. I know for Leslie, her style often comes from the Salvation Army or the most recent estate sale. I admit to having a slightly larger budget for my items, which also means my closet has remained virtually unchanged in the last decade. I happen to think we both look amazing. Mama Bears, part of our struggle as women in America is to hang on to the true us inside, even when our culture is trying to tell us who to be or what to wear. There's a stylist inside each of you that knows what you look good in and what you feel good in. Let's embrace her and rock the confidence knowing your outside matches your beautiful inside. Confidence will always be the sexiest thing we own, Mama Bears, so wear the heck out of it.
What's the matter? You want to be